It's time for Lincoln County Connections on KNPT, KWDP, and KBCH. Here's your host, Casey Miller.
Thank you for joining us today on Lincoln County Connections. I am Casey Miller, Lincoln County's Public Information Officer. Today I have the pleasure of introducing Lincoln County Commissioner Bill Hall. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Casey.
You know, we wanted to talk about a couple of things today, and one of them was the Lincoln County Fairgrounds and the progress we're making. And, you know, from the inside, administratively, and looking at the fair board and the kinds of things we do to push the process along, it seems to us that, as well, it's probably been going on for a while in terms of the objectives. But, you know, I was looking on the website this morning, Bill, and I see that, you know, historically, we've got a pretty good archive of documents, at least in this modern process, over the last, I would say, 3 years of where we're really trying to crystallize some thinking on what's happening there. And so, you know, I encourage our listeners, if this is new to you or if it seems a little bit like a blur from the outside, you know, there is a directed focus that's happening to try and achieve some goals. Can you speak to that on the big picture, Bill? You know, why might it seem like such a long process to the outside?
Well, because it has been a long process, Casey. I mean, we've been working on this for many years, and unfortunately, well, it's been a priority for us. To be very honest, we couldn't make it a top priority, especially for several years there where we were dealing with really the worst budget challenge I think local government in Oregon has faced since the Great Depression, that revenues bottomed out almost overnight. We had to spend a couple of years in very severe budget cutting, restructuring of departments, and the ripple effects from that have continued for several years after. And that really became the focus, preserving the very basic essential services that people expect from county government, primarily law enforcement and the broad spectrum of public safety, roads, health and human services. And so, unfortunately, from time to time, the fair project has gotten put on hold, you might say, but we have kept moving forward. We've now got a plan, and I'm hoping very soon we'll be ready to take the next step and send a proposal to the voters.
Can you talk about how the traditional structure of, you know, having the fair board and how the fair board informs the commissioners, and how that kind of overlays into the use of the fairgrounds, and why it's necessary that, you know, these different entities sort of cross over, maybe in terms of funding, but also in terms of theory?
Yeah, both. Okay, so let's talk about funding and let's talk about operational structure. The old operational structure that we had here, and that most but not all counties still have, is an appointed fair board that not only manages the fairgrounds, but also is in charge of staging the annual fair event. Some counties still put a lot of general fund money, or at least some general fund money, into staging the fair. But way back in the 1990s, my predecessors on the county commission phased that funding out over a four-year period. We still get $50,000 a year from the state in lottery money for staging a fair or maintaining the fairgrounds, and the majority of that money does go toward staging the fair itself, the rest to help with maintenance of the grounds. And also we do a lot of in-kind in terms of maintaining the facilities. But back in early 2009, when the previous fair board resigned as a unit, instead of maintaining that structure, a couple of things happened. We decided to appoint a new fair board that would strictly be focused on management of the grounds and long-range planning. And for 6 years, a group of community volunteers, Town and Country Fair Committee, staged the fair itself. Late last year, Town and Country Fair Committee stepped aside. That's when OSU Extension stepped forward. They put on the 2015 fair, and we have now completed an agreement for them to put on the 2016 fair. And after, you know, and then getting back to the fair board's role, after one final round of public meetings with our consultant, we now have a plan for the Board of Commissioners to consider, and if there's agreement among the board, to bring forward the final piece of a funding proposal to the voters.
You know, the Fair Board and that piece and the funding by having that structure there draws, you know, really isn't great.
No, $50,000 a year comes to us from the state, and, you know, there are some sideboards on it, pretty broad, but basically counties are told they can use it for staging a fair-type event or for the maintenance of a fair-type facility. And I say fair-type because, you know, it doesn't have to be a traditional county fair. If it was more, I mean, the statute includes language referencing an industrial fair, an educational event. So it could be, there is some range of potential uses there, but basically our focus and most counties' focus has been on staging the traditional fair.
You know, when you look at something like 4-H, we think of the traditional roles of 4-H, and one of the things, you know, I've learned through Todd Williver and OSU Extension was, you know, 4-H is morphed into, you know, in a modern incarnation, too. So it seems like there has been this period of evolution, basically.
Oh, yes.
We're still giving a nod to those traditional types of concepts, but we're trying to build a new vision, too, it sounds like.
Yes, we are, really. And, you know, this has been, there have been a lot of challenges with this process. You know, I moved to Lincoln County, almost 28 years ago, and I'm now in my 11th year as a commissioner. And I know when I got here in 1987, the beginning of 1987, people were talking about the condition of the fairgrounds, the future of the fairgrounds, the future of the fair. And, you know, we hadn't solved it then, and we haven't solved it now. I think if it was an easy problem to solve, we would have taken care of it by now. You know, first, it's been a lack of resources, and second, the lack of a common shared vision. And, you know, I realize that we're never going to have a plan that everybody, or a vision that everybody agrees with and is willing to support, but if we can get to that point where there's majority support, I think we can get there, and I think we've got a plan that I hope will that people will be willing to support. Should we talk about the broad outlines of the plan itself?
I think we should. Let's take a quick break.
Sure.
And when we come back, we will talk about the fair, the fairgrounds, and those broad outlines that are coming to you. Stay with us. Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. Your Lincoln County Commissioner Bill Hall is with us today. We're talking about the fair. Bill, before you talk about where it's going now, I did want to remind our listeners of Lincoln County's website. And, you know, going back to 2014, we've got a market and feasibility analysis. Then we had public meetings in September of 2014. Hired Don Mann as a consultant, a preliminary fairgrounds plan and public meetings in June of 2015. Now we have online these recommendations by Don Mann, and also a vision statement that both were posted online in October.
Mm-hmm.
Take us from that going forward.
Okay, well, I think one important thing for people to understand, Casey, is we're talking about not just the future of the fair event itself, but the future of those grounds. And I've had a few people say to me, well, how can you talk about spending millions of dollars to redevelop these grounds for an event that only happens 3 days a year? And if that's all we were doing it for, no, it would make no economic sense at all. But you have to remember, in addition to the fair, 4-H is using the grounds throughout the year. We have other uses throughout the year, you know, sportsmen's shows, home shows, banquets, the Winter Farmer Market, the Celtic Festival. You know, all of these and more have called those grounds home in the last few years. The Pick of the Litter thrift store operated by Focus is there. So part of the plan is a recommendation approved by the Fair Board and goes to the commissioners is to not call it the fairgrounds anymore, but to call it the Lincoln County Commons to reflect that this is a community facility and a facility that hopefully will be used by folks from all over the county and beyond throughout the year. So what's the redevelopment plan? The centerpiece of it is a new 25,000-square-foot exhibit hall. And if people are looking for a little context or vision, the current hall is about 15,000 square feet. And so to get a modern building that doesn't have the support beams, that has an adequate kitchen, adequate restrooms, really to fit modern needs, that's the centerpiece. And then I've had a few people say, well, is that all you're doing? And no, that is coming first because, you know, the feedback consistently, not only through the recent meetings, but the earlier ones, was that this is the building that would have the broadest use, and even though it probably would not be a moneymaker, it would generate more revenue, frankly, than anything else we do on the grounds. But this is a total vision to renovate or replace everything on the grounds, the animal barn, the 4-H building, the outdoor arena, all of that. And so people are going to ask, you know, how do we pay for it? And we've got a little over $1 million that we've been banking in room tax money through the years. That's one piece of it. City of Newport has now come to the table with $3 million of urban renewal money. And that, I cannot emphasize how much of a key that is, because, again, the idea of urban renewal is to support facilities that hopefully are going to boost the local economy. And if we get more of those types of events I talked about in there that draw people into the community from the outside, you know, put heads in beds, as they say in the industry, then I think the city will see some return from that. But, you know, that's not going to be enough, because the ballpark estimate without a formal plan and formal engineering just for a new exhibit hall alone, and we're talking about a very simple utilitarian building, steel walls, concrete floor, is in the neighborhood of $7 million. Yeah. So the other piece that the Mann Report recommends and that we're going to give a serious look at is a proposed room tax measure of no more than 2%. And again, unless we go above the city room tax rates, we are only talking about lodging properties in the unincorporated area. We're going to ask for some formal projections from our treasurer, but it looks like each 1% increase could generate about $200,000 a year. So the idea would be to take all these funding sources together, possibly do some borrowing against the future revenue stream, get this built, and then the fact is, every fairgrounds, every public facility of this type in the state, with one exception, it's not self-supporting. It needs some kind of an operational subsidy. So once it's built, then that money stream pays for maintenance, upkeep, and rather than have the county itself run the grounds, as we are right now, we would contract with some kind of entity to manage it, handle the booking, oversee the maintenance, all of that.
Lincoln County Commissioner Bill Hall will be back in a moment after this break to continue the discussion. Stay with us.
Lincoln County Connections is back on KNPT, KBCH, and KWDP.
Welcome back to Lincoln County Connections. We're talking to Lincoln County Commissioner Bill Hall. We've been talking about the fairgrounds, the next steps. What do you see, Bill? Are we going to have more meetings? What's your projection?
Well, I'm expecting somewhere around the first of the year, the Mann Report will be taken up by the county commissioners.
Okay.
We'll provide an opportunity for feedback, and depending on how much response there is, whether we look at some extra public meetings or not. But I'm hoping that if at least one of my colleagues is in support of moving ahead with the room tax measure, that we get that on the ballot as soon as next spring and start that additional revenue coming in, because even if that passes and we feel like we've got the funding assured, that's just going to move it to another phase. Instead of just broad conceptual drawings, that's when we get down to the nuts and bolts of saying, okay, this building goes here, this building goes there, this is how big this one should be and what it should look like. And probably, you know, even if everything goes smoothly from here on out, we're not looking at construction until 2019 at the soonest.
Yeah. Well, if you've been joining us and want to know more information, you can go to the Lincoln County website, look at the historical analysis and future visioning on the website. It's all there. Folks can check it out, and I'm sure we'll be having media releases and those regular fair board meetings continuing into the future. You know, maybe with a short time left, Bill, we could talk about where you see vacation rental dwellings and what sort of stoked, division here.
Yeah, it's a hot-button topic. The county has never regulated vacation rentals in the unincorporated areas. It was something that was looked at about 20 years ago but set aside. Well, a couple of years ago, we've taken it up again. It's driven by complaints, mostly in the Glenedon Beach, Lincoln Beach area because of the density of development there, but a few from other neighborhoods as well. And the same things the cities are wrestling with, parking, noise, trash. And what, again, I think we'll be taking up somewhere around the first of the year is a proposal for the first time for the county to do what the cities have been doing for years and licensing vacation rentals, requiring an operator to have a permit. You know, a couple of people have asked us, well, doesn't the county already have tools to deal with these problems? Yes, but, you know, if somebody from Boise, Idaho gets cited for noise while they're staying in a vacation rental and they go home and never come back to Lincoln County, that doesn't give us really an effective tool. But if a rental owner repeatedly fails to deal with complaints in a proactive manner, we do have the opportunity for fines and ultimately pulling their license. So we'll roll that out, see what people think. I think it's a reasonable, measured solution to these problems, but we'll see what happens.
Where does the zoning piece fit in? Would you see any kind of zoning changes? How does it emerge that a vacation rental dwelling exceeds capacity anyway?
Well, you know, the why the problems are concentrated in that area is, unlike a lot of unincorporated areas, they established a sewer district, I believe, back in the 1970s. And so a lot of residential lots in the rural part of the county, the development footprint is constrained by the fact that they have to reserve a good chunk of the lot for a septic drain field. But there, they're connected to sewers, so all of a sudden folks have realized that they can develop these three-story, 4,000-square-foot homes that sleep 20 people, essentially almost a motel in a residential neighborhood, and that's where the worst of the issues have come from.
Yeah.
So we're not looking at it from a zoning standpoint, certainly not at this point. I think we'll roll out the licensing program, assess it in a year or two, seeing if it's given us an effective tool in dealing with the problem. If the answer is yes, great. If the answer is no, then we might look at further steps, like whether it would be appropriate to perhaps cap future vacation rentals. We don't have the ability to essentially legislate out existing ones. Existing ones would be grandfathered, but we could limit the location or the numbers of new ones.
Yeah. Sounds like you've been requested by some communities, maybe in the Glenedon Beach area.
Correct.
Where you've been.
That's what I was saying, that that's the area where probably 95% of the complaints, 95-98% of the complaints we're getting are coming from.
Are you being informed by the City of Lincoln City, City of Newport? Do they have some solid practices that you're drawing from?
To some degree, but actually our main model is a vacation rental licensing program that was adopted in Tillamook County about 5 years ago. It's been working well up there. You know, I talked to one of the commissioners up there, and he told me there was some fear, some angst that this was going to cripple the industry, but he told me those fears have been absolutely unfounded, that people just now accept it as part of doing business. You know, I can understand people living in neighborhoods with lots of vacation rentals not appreciating some of these issues, coming home and finding strange cars blocking their driveway, trash strewn in the street, parties that wake them up at 1:30 in the morning. Probably the worst story, or maybe the prototypical story. Nah, I'll have to save that for another time. But it's an interesting challenge, and we're trying to listen to and be fair to everybody.
Yeah. Well, it would be interesting to hear your stories, Bill. Pleasure having you here today.
Uh-huh. Thanks,
and
Casey.
We'll keep you informed on what's going to happen next and how this is all going to unfold. If you want to find out more about the fairgrounds or keep up to date, go to Lincoln County's website. We've got what's new and the latest news there for you. See you same time, same place next week on Connect.